Heavenly Father, it is to you that we come and seek your rest and your refuge. And we are lay our lives down at your feet. And we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for being a good Father, a good God. And Lord, today I pray that you would be exalted, glorified, and honored today. And pray that we would have a fresh perspective of who you really are, Lord. Would you bless our time and your word? Bless those who are here in person, those who are watching, and whoever watch the sermon later on, Lord, that you would have words of hope and encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Church. How was everyone? Beautiful worship, Lisa, Natalie. Wonderful worship. Y'all need to come back. Yes. I knew there would be a second singer. It's just the second singer didn't know she was going to sing. She did great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, happy Father's Day to those who are dads, either here or watching. Father's Day. It's Father's Day today. Yay! Which could be a good holiday for some, and others could be a sore spot. Yeah, so I just want to just, what's a father, you know? What's a dad, you know? And technically, the word father means one who's the originator, right? He's the progenitor and the originator of the origins of a family, you know, is what a father is, you know? But like the role of a dad, you know, what exactly is a father? Some people were asked, a boy was asked, and he said, well, it's just, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much money. No comment on that, but that's, like, it's true. It's true, right? Another man said, a father is a man who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Paul Harvey said, he said this, if you remember Paul Harvey back in the day on the radio, he said, a father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's. Fathers make bets with insurance companies about who will live the longest. And one day they lose and the bets pay off to the part of them that they leave behind. That was Paul Harvey. Well, you know, Father's Day, we're going to do a Father's Day message because, you know, why not, you know? But when you think of fathers, a lot of people think of their dads, right? Whether your dad was a good dad or a bad dad or in between or an absent dad. My goal today is to replace whatever image you have of dad and father with what the true father is like. Because at the end of the day, there's no comparison between God the Father and even the best earthly dads. Even the best earthly dads or the worst, there's no comparison. I don't want to impinge or infringe or desecrate the image of God the Father, of who he really is, by a lesser man, whether he is the best man in the world or not. I don't want to do that. God is described as Father throughout Scripture. Old Testament, he's described his father in various ways as like the father of Israel. I'll just read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 32 says, do you thus repay the Lord, foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. And then Isaiah says, for you are our father, though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not recognize us. You, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer from of old is your name. And then later on, Jeremiah 31 says, with weeping they will come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of water on a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my son. In the Old Testament, he's not described as father a lot, mainly to the children of Israel, occasionally to certain people. For example, the king and David and his son would be a son to God the Father, right? You have a couple of those cases. In the Psalms, it says that he is a father to the fatherless. Okay, the father to the fatherless is our God. And he is, as the psalmist says, you are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. But you don't get a whole lot of descriptions of God as father in the Old Testament. What you do, though, is in the New Testament, you get a lot of descriptions of God as father in the New Testament, mainly from the lips of Jesus. From the lips of Jesus, he calls God the Father, or his Father, in the Synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because you can sort of put them together and have a synopsis of the story of Jesus. 65 times he calls God his Father. But in the Gospel of John, it's over 100 times. Now, if we're going to learn something about who God the Father is, it's not because of our dads, good, bad, or ugly he is, absent or together he was. It is from somebody who knows God the Father more than anyone else, and that's the Son. Let it be that our image of God the Father is the true representation from the lips of Christ. Because Christ came here to reveal the Father. John talks about how the Son came to disclose. He says that the Son was in the bosom of the Father, and he reveals, he exposes, he explains who the Father is to us. That's his job. The whole ministry of Jesus was to explain the Father. And the whole mission of Jesus was originated with the Father. It was his idea to come and rescue us. So as much as we love Jesus, but everything Jesus does is because of the Father's idea and love and insight and direction. It all came from the Father. The enemy wants to take the Father and distort him. In fact, the enemy hates fathers. And you can see that in society today. Look, watch the TV show. Who's the bumbling idiot in the TV show? But dads. The men are the ones who are askewed, right? The fathers, they're the morons of the TV show. Or they're the jerks. They're the everything else. And society and the enemy wants to diminish or damage the image of the Father. Why? Because the devil hates the Father. There's this onslaught of attack on fatherhood, right? There's this attack on fatherhood. But fatherhood is so important. See, some people think you can have a life without a dad, without a dad. So you have some women that will have children without dads, purposely. Well, who needs a dad? Just give me the sperm and I'm fine. I'll be the dad and mom. Unfortunately, within each person, well, fortunately, I'll put it this way. Fortunately, within each person, there is a place where only a father can fill. And so today, we're gonna look into a lot of scripture, Lord willing, to talk about the Father of God. Now, of course, as kids, we need... And even as a 50-some-odd-year-old person who loves the Lord, I still need things from my own dad. My dad's still around. Thank the Lord. Each one of us has that heart, that thing in us that says there's something that the Father can only fulfill. And I've talked to grown senior adults in their 70s and 80s who were brought to tears because of thinking the Father of their own dads. It's a vital role. If you have a privilege of being a dad or not yet, it's a high calling. Being a father is a high, high calling. You're stepping in and almost stepping into much, much bigger shoes than you realize. You know, it's God ordained. And it's a high calling because it is based on the person of God himself. We play a vital role in our families, a vital role in society, a vital role to lead our families, to lead our children, to teach our children. Well, today I want to, of course, look at the kind of father that God is, because at the end of the day, I want him to be exalted. And I don't know if we can do that in one sermon, but we'll give it a shot, okay? Before I go into that, I just want to ask, what are some things as children that we need from our dads? We need what?
Security.
We need our dads to be the rock in our lives, right? Be that somebody that's always there. And those of us maybe who had dads who weren't always there, that becomes a roadblock for us with God the Father, because we think, well, Dad took off, and he wasn't trustworthy. How do I know God the Father can be? And so there's that roadblock. In fact, some of you already have roadblocks in your mind right now. You already have hurdles in your mind. Mention the word Father, and it's, don't talk to me. I hate the word Father. Some of y'all are thinking that. Online too. I've had that challenge. I love my dad. I've had that challenge, you know. No dad's perfect. Only God the Father is. And so, yes, we need, as children, we need the Father's security. We need the Father's love, don't we? We need the Father's love more than anything else. They to know that our dad loves us. And so many times we may not think that. So we try harder to measure up. Some dads are just impossible to please. And so we think, well, God the Father must be the same way. He's up there in heaven just doing this. You know, just, you know. The scripture is going to teach us differently. It's going to teach us way differently. We need our father's encouragement. We need our fathers to say, good job, you're doing great, right? We need our father to be that shielder. It's something where, you know, friends can tell us that, but when somebody like our father tells us that, that's, oh, hey, dad's proud of me. Dad encourages me. We need our father's leadership, don't we? We need an example. We need our father to be the one who leads us as an example. I love what Jesus says. He says, my father is working and I'm working too. The things I speak are things my father says. The things I do are because I saw my father doing it. We need our father's instruction. We're going to look at a lot of verses. Go to 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 2. 1 Kings, chapter 2. And the first four verses are, in a sense, David's last words to his son Solomon. David, of course, the king that was the man that was after God's own heart, the king that the man who wrote a lot of the Psalms, are tribute to David, and of course his son Solomon took over for him. Solomon would become very, very wise. But it says, as David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Means I'm going to die. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Be strong and show yourself a man, right? Be a man. What does that mean, though? What does it mean to be a man? Here's what he says. Keep charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses. Here's what it is, son, to be a man. Follow God. Follow his commandments. follow his ordinances, keep his law, keep his word, walk according to his way. That's a father telling his son on his deathbed what to do. You're going to save the best words. If you've lived a life, a full life, David's lived a full, full life with the Lord, and he's getting ready to tell his son how to live his life. And the most important words that you and I, or me as a father, or he as a father would say is this: follow the Lord. At the end of the day is walk in the ways of the Lord. And that's what a dad is supposed to lead their children to do, right? By way of example and by way of word and a command. I talked to my son last night. I said, Joshua, I said, I don't know if I've been a good dad or a bad dad, but I want to make sure I have one job. You had one job, right? My one job is to direct my kids in the way of the Lord. As best as I know how, by way of how I live or what I say and how I treat their mom and how I, you know, keep the commands of the Lord. Follow the Lord. Be in his word. Stay close to him. If that's the only thing I give, if that's the sermon I give to my son and my daughter, that will be sufficient. Because at the end of the day, they're gonna have some remembering of my life, and what I say are gonna hopefully hit them deeper than anything else. Because when I'm dead and gone, I'm praying that they're now following the ways of God and telling their children and carrying on to the next generations. That's how it gets passed on. Deuteronomy 6:4 talks about the Shema, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then it says, you shall teach these to your children. Everywhere you walk and talk and wake up, and you're going to teach these to your kids. Our kids need our instructions in the ways of the Lord. And the father especially, men, we are especially the ones who are commissioned with that leadership. Many times it's the mom, many times it's, which is great. Men, we need to speak up. We need to have the voice, and God has given us the voice to teach our children the ways of the Lord. In fact, in Proverbs is really a book where a father writes to his son and teaches his son wisdom, how to live life, right? A father is teaching his kids wisdom of how to live life. So if you look at the book of Proverbs, he says, my son, if you receive these words and treasure my commandments within you, or if you don't forgive my teaching and let your heart ponder my commandments, you know, like, I'm teaching you about life. I'm your father, you're my son. I'm instructing you in the ways of how to live life, ways of the Lord, to fear God, and how to make right decisions. Those are the influences, the leadership of the father to the son. That's important. We need that as kids, right? Even after our kids have grown, and my kids are going to go to college, and the Lord willing, get married someday, you know how it is. They may be married. Mom, Dad, I need some wisdom on something. We're still now going to be that for our kids. So as kids, we need our parents' wisdom. We also need our dad's love. It's a high calling to be a father. Well, I want to look at what Jesus teaches us about the Father. What's he like? What is God the Father like? I'm going to give you like 12. 13. Characteristics of the Father from Jesus. First of all, our Father is good and kind. Our Father is good and kind. Amen? When you think about God the Father, think of his goodness and his kindness. He's even good and kind to people who don't deserve it. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be a lot in Matthew, so I'll have you go. Matthew chapter 5. Our God, God the Father, is good and kind. Matthew 5:43 says this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you,
Why? So that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. Here, catch this. When you love and pray for those who are even mistreating you, you are resembling the goodness and kindness of God, our Father in heaven. He's good and kind to even his enemies. How much more is he good and kind to even his own children? Amen? He is good and kind to those. He says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that, the reason, result, the purpose, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Our Father is good and kind to his own children and even to his own enemies. I need to learn that as me as a dad. Am I kind? Maybe your dad wasn't kind or good, but God the Father is. See, it's okay to have Jesus, invite us. In fact, John says how wonderful it is that we should be called sons of God, right? That we have been adopted into his family. And what a pleasure and privilege it is to be able to call God our Father. He's a good and kind dad. Does that go through your mind when you think of God? His goodness and kindness? This is from Jesus. He's a good and kind Father. Remember, Jesus is the one who's explaining the Father to us. And Jesus is the one, according to Scripture, is the one who was with the Father from all eternity past. He's with the Father. He's the one who knows the Father more than anybody else, right? He knows the ins of, he knows everything about the Father. We can trust his words. We can trust the words of Christ. The devil comes along and says, well, he's not really that way. Well, Jesus knows better. Trust the words of Jesus, not your feelings, not your temptations. Number two. He's a rewarding Father. He's a rewarding Father. Look at Matthew 6. A couple of verses. Verse 2. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? He'll reward you. He rewards honesty and pure motives, but he sees and rewards. He sees the devotion to him, and he rewards that. Skip on down to verse 8. 18, he's talking about fasting. He says, do it in secret. Don't let everybody else know that you're fasting for religious reasons, so that your fasting, verse 18, will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He sees what you're doing. Nobody else doesn't have to see it, but he sees, and he says, I see what my child's doing there. I'm gonna bless them. They're doing this out of pure motives and honor, and I'm gonna bless them for that. Some dads are just always looking to punish, and God's looking to reward. Right? Thirdly, our God, our Father. Let me just say something. Some of these points are very obvious, but these are by way of reminder. Our God, our Father, he's not only good and kind, he not only is a rewarder of honesty and pure motives, but he's also one who hears and is attentive to our prayers. Our Father is attentive to our prayers. He's not sitting in front of the TV ignoring you while he's watching some TV show, ignore and just focus on his own thing. Hey, I got enough to worry about. No, he's like, My child is speaking. Stay in Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, watch this. But when you pray, go into your inner room, your prayer closet, close your door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In fact, God says, Jesus says, go down to verse 8 or verse 7 and 8. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Your Father even knows. When you ask him, he's already aware of that, and he's ready to hear and respond. He's interested in his children. He's not the kind of dad that sits in front of the tea and says, hey, son, while you're up, give me another beer. That's not God our Father. God our Father is like, hey, my child wants to hear from me. I want to hear from him and her. I'm interested. I'm aware of their needs. I'm attentive to their prayers, rather. This leads to number 4. He is aware of your needs. He hears your prayers in number 3. Number 4, he's aware of your needs and the needs of his children. And that's why, look at verse 25, Matthew 6, 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat and what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Jesus says, your Father's aware of even the little birdies that need food, and yet you're more important than they are to him. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil and they don't spin. They don't stress out. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Verse 32. He goes, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He is aware of our needs. He's a good Father who's aware of your needs, my needs, even before we say it. He's an interested father. Amen? He's eager to hear from you. He delights in you. How many of you guys have a hard time praying to the Lord because you have this image of God not being interested and like you're bothering God? Jesus tells us, actually, it's the contrary. I imagine the scene in heaven. Now, God can do everything at once, right? He can multitask, you know. We men, we do one thing at a time, right? Ladies, you can do 10 things at a time. God, infinite number of times, right? But I imagine prayers start coming up. Oh, my son needs me. Hold on. Yes, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm all ears. When you go to God the Father, he is all ears. And he's interested in you because you're his child. Amen? That's a good dad. I don't know about that. That's a great dad. He's interested and he's aware of your needs. So when you go and pray, have that image of God the Father being this God that leans in to hear more. Number 5, he is a God who gives and forgives. He gives and he forgives. Matthew 6, Jesus says the famous, Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer. By the way, it's the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that the Lord gave to us. It's, some people call it the Disciples' Prayer. I call it the Lord's Prayer because traditionally it's the Lord's Prayer because he gave us this prayer. It's from the Lord. But anyway, it's praying this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, holy, may your name be holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does it say next? Give. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive. He's a God who gives and forgives. He doesn't hold grudges. He gives and he forgives. He's a giving father, a kind father, generous father. He gives gifts to his children. Jesus will later say in Matthew 7, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God the Father give good gifts to those his children that ask? He's also very generous because Scripture talks about how he gave his own son for us. He's not the stingy father. They're very generous. Guys, if you want to be like God the Father, lean towards generosity more than stinginess. He's a generous father. That's number six. I'm just going to read it down. Number six. He's a generous father. Romans, I'm just going to read it to you. Romans 8, 31 and 32 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, how he will not also with him give us all three things. Let me read it again. If God is for us, who is against us? He, God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? In other words, God was generous in giving us Jesus Christ. God is a generous God. Amen? Number seven, he cares for every detail of your life. Every detail of your life is important to God. Every detail. Every detail. Even things you think are not important to yourself is still important to God. He's the God, as Jesus says, that when one sparrow falls to the ground, God knows about the sparrow falling to the ground. But he's the God who knows the number of hairs on your head. How many of you guys have taken the time to count the number of hairs on your head? Some of us have more hair than others, and some are falling out faster, and I never did that for my own kids. I mean, can you imagine? That'd be kind of strange. Going to one, two. He knows the number of hairs. That's somebody that's very interested in somebody, right? And yet God knows how many hairs on your head. That's how interested and how he cares for the details of our lives. The things that concern us concern him. The things that worry us, he's concerned about. The things you're stressed out about, he knows about. He's a good father, isn't he? And there's no need too great or too small that he's not interested in, he doesn't know about. None. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, that's too futile, the God that's... No. Every detail. You're talking about a God who knows the number of hairs on your head. And he probably knows the number of atoms in your body. He probably knows all even more details than you realize he knows. He goes, hey, let me tell you about my child. He is 6 foot one. He wants to be less than 200 pounds, but he's actually 225 or so, you know, and that's okay, you know, and he's got this. I mean, let me tell you about what he thinks and how, I mean, let me tell you how his patterns of his thinking. Let me tell you how she worries about certain things that come up. And let me tell you about, and he knows about all that, right? He's a, you know, okay, God, I get it. You love that your child. That's about each one of us. I don't know. He's a God who, as Jesus says, is worthy of praise, though. Jesus says, I praise you, Father, that you didn't reveal certain things to the intelligent, but to the infants, so to speak. The simple people, so to speak. He's a God who's worthy of praise. But let me tell you one more thing. Number eight or nine, I forget what number I'm at now. He is a God who verbally encourages his children, who encourages his children, who expresses pleasure in his children. Go to, where are we at? Matthew Go to Matthew 3. We're still in Matthew. We'll just stay in Matthew for a while. Matthew 3. Matthew 3. I told you we're going to look at a lot of scripture. And to do this all in one sermon, well, it's difficult, but that's okay. Well, Matthew 3. Jesus gets baptized, and in verse 16, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting up on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is God the Father speaking, this, Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, he doesn't do that just one time. He did that a few times. He did that at Jesus' a transfiguration, right? He says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Here's my point. Here's a father who says, that's my son, and I'm pleased with him. That's my daughter, and I'm pleased with her. I love her, and I'm pleased with her, and I'm telling the world. Can you imagine being that kid? Your dad's like, hey, I am so proud. Publicly telling to people. What child wouldn't want to hear that from their dad? And yet that's what God does. He does it to Jesus by implication. He does it for us. That's my daughter, Sharon. I am well pleased. I think the world of her. That's my son, Tom. Man, he's the apple of my eye. Let me tell you about Tom. Can you imagine all that God the Father is doing? That's what he does. He is the father who has the photo albums, you know, out of his wallet, right? He is that dad. And he has a story about each one of us that he wants to share. In fact, Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, he writes about the occasion where he's with Peter, it's Peter, James, and John, with Jesus, he's transfigured, and Peter writes about that event when Jesus got transfigured, you know, he starts glowing, is white, and Peter remembers that and remembers those words of the Father. Like, it's like they stuck with him. When you honor your kids, I want to honor my son, my daughter. I love my kids. My son has a tender heart. He's a kind boy. And my daughter, if she's watching, I hope she's watching, she has a gift of art and a gift of music. And she has a compassionate and empathetic heart. She cares about people. All right? That's a gift from the Lord. So he and God the Father is encouraging about that. Number 10. I think you guys are taking notes. Maybe not. He is a consistent father. That means he's dependable. James, I'm just going to read. He says in James 1:17, every good thing is, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. The idea is there's no wavering. Is he in a good mood today? Or is he in a bad mood? Is he in a good mood today? Is he here? Is he going to show up or not? No, God is a rock. He's consistent. And it's the same God that you met if you met Jesus Christ the first day. Is he the same God in the day? He doesn't change. God says, I never change. You can trust him. That's why the scripture talks about God as being this rock. Doesn't move, right? Praise the Lord. Doesn't move. He's secure. He's not fickle. He's not, you know, emotional. He doesn't have ups and downs. He's not like, you know, he's stable and he's there and he's dependable. He's consistent and he's truthful. Number 11, our Father loves unconditionally and sacrificially. Our Father loves unconditionally and sacrificially. We're talking about his goodness, his kindness, his generosity, right? But he also loves unconditionally and sacrificially. You can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave who? His only son he gives to us. That's sacrifice. Would I give my kids for you? No way. I love y'all, but I'm not God. But he gives generously. He gives unconditionally. He gave Jesus Christ to us while we were still enemies of him. While we were still rebelling and doing what we do and saying this to God, you know, and do deliver. He gave Jesus, his only son, to a bunch of people that may not return the favor.
John will later write in his epistle, 1 John, he says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such as we are." How great a love the Father has bestowed, that we would be called children of God. The world is looking for love and hope and answers, right? And we are believers in Jesus Christ, are children of God. We have, hey, don't let the world misrepresent who God the Father is. Let us show, hey, he's a good father. You may have heard other things, have seen other things, but let me just tell you, here's a God who'll give his own son to save us, and he loves us. He's that good father who loves unconditionally and sacrificially. Number 12. I said there's 13, right? I said there's 13, wasn't there? Come on. I could have came up with 50. I had to stop, you know? Because guess what? You can't, like God the Father, you can't exhaust how good he is. There's still hurdles in your minds, though. Okay, let me give you two more. He delights in you. He delights in his children. He delights in you. Do you know that God delights in you? Maybe your own father never did that, but God the Father delights in you. We were talking about this at the marriage thing. Were we at the marriage thing? Were we? No, we were talking about this yesterday at a gathering we were at. Zephaniah 3:17. Mark it, highlight it in your Bible. If you ever feel that God, here's the image of God. Watch this. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." The idea, though, is that he is a God who's actually doing a little dance over his children. And this English translation I read doesn't get captured. The God actually is like, he's delighting over his kids. You know, and of course, you know, in Hebrew, in Jewish culture, if you are older over a certain age, like my age, older men didn't run, and they didn't dance. They didn't show outward emotion like that. They didn't express that. But you see this here in Zephaniah 3:17. You actually see that in Luke 15 with the prodigal son, the father running to his son who's come home, right? He says, "I don't care about cultural expectations. I love my kids." That's God the Father. That's a good Father, that's who you have if you're a believer in Christ. Amen? He delights in his children. In fact, the next time you pray to God the Father, I want you to remind yourself of a few of these things. Prepare your hearts and mind, because most of the time our flesh and our mind, it says, we forget and we think God is the way we used to think, or the way our dad was, and or he's absent or hurtful or neglectful, and somehow that's clouded. Let us remind ourselves who God really, 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 really is, because these are words from Jesus Christ himself. And who are we going to believe? Our experience? We're going to believe the words of Christ. And by faith, you may not feel lovable. You might not feel that God really delights in you, but I'm telling you, the words of Scripture, by the way, the Scripture doesn't change, right? Scripture doesn't change. That's why it's written. It's written. That means you can point to it. It's there, God. You said that right there. And finally, number 13. I could have 50. I could have had 100. But for the sake of time, I just stopped here. And our Father is one who teaches, and I let this be, he teaches, he's an example. He instructs and entrusts. He instructs and he entrusts. Watch this. Go to John chapter 5. Go to John chapter 5, and this is the last verses we're looking at, and then we're going to celebrate the fact that Lord is our Father, and he's a good Father, and then
We'll go home. Okay? Amen? Okay. John chapter 5. Verse 19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees." Who? The Father doing. The Father's example. He instructs his kids. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. He's an example. He's not just telling me what to do, but he's telling me how to do it. He's showing me how to do it. I remember when I was younger, we first moved to Arizona, and people would say, my brother and I are, you know, young, obviously my dad, you know, but my dad would be walking, and then we would be walking behind him. Like, you guys are related. That's your dad, because you guys all walk the same. We all have the same, you know, walk or something, you know. They know us. They say, but you guys are related because you guys walk just like the man in front. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. He's now example who he's instructing and showing him. He's letting him in. He's like, "Son, let me show you. Let me teach you." The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he is doing, and the Father will show him greater things than these. Skip on down. Let's see here. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater things than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to those whom he wishes. The Father instructs and he entrusts as well. He delights in his kids. He teaches his kids. He's an example to his kids. He cares for the details of his kids. He encourages his kids. He's a generous father. He's a kind father. He's a loving father. He's an approaching father. He's an interested father. He's a present father. He's a dependable father. That's our God. I pray that maybe some of this is challenging. Maybe you're just, "I'm not with you there, John. I'm not. I know what the scripture says, but man, I don't feel it. I'm not. That's hard for me to receive. It's hard for me to believe because it's too good to be true. My experience is complete opposite of this." And that would be, to some of us, it would be a I would understand that. And it would be, I pray, it would be tragic, and I pray that somehow God would reveal himself to you away in a special way that would help you understand how his heart is really for you, you know? Because unfortunately, a lot of us have had the bad experiences that aren't just hurdles, they're walls. They're massive heaps of garbage and hurt and pain and all kinds of things. And it's like, I can't see God the Father because I got all this stuff in front of me. And my prayer is that God in his grace in such a way that he would remove those barriers. Allow you to experience who he really is, and that he would provide the healing in each area. Because I know this, for me to preach this, and the scripture's true. It's one thing to hear it up here and to know what it says. It's another thing for it to really sink down and receive it. And that's got to be work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God does that work of healing. Because the tragedy would be this. The tragedy would be that if you never experience who God really is and miss out on the relationship he really, really, really wants with you. I pray that if anyone's here watching has those father wounds, those doesn't connect, doesn't compute, I can't relate, I don't understand this. This is not the world I grew up in. This is not the life I've lived because my earthly dad was there, not there, absent, hurtful, whatever. And now you tell me about God the Father. I can't make anything. I pray that the Holy Spirit would, and however He does, would somehow make a pathway and bring healing to that. Because if I'm reading the words of Christ, Tom, when you went to heaven, you were before the throne of God the Father Himself. Someday, Lord willing, if you're a believer in Jesus, we will all be before the throne of the Father, and we will experience a love and a healing and a comfort and a wholeness and a purpose and everything because we are His children. And I pray that it wouldn't have to take you to go into heaven to grow in who God the Father is. Don't let Satan and what he's done don't let what Satan has done in your life take that away from you now. Don't let him rob you, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to rob from you an intimacy with the Father that He so desires to seek with each one of us. Don't give the devil that privilege and that victory. You know what we're going to do? Let's do this. Let's spend a few minutes in quiet, secret prayer between you and God the Father. However you want to talk, confess, whatever, pour out your heart to Him. If you're watching online, do the same. Because I pray that somehow you and I, each one of us, would now experience a closer, intimate relationship with Him. So maybe just a few minutes, quiet, contemplative prayer, confession, however, Holy Spirit, just talk to the Lord. Tell Him what you're feeling. Tell Him what your hurts are, what your frustrations. Tell Him where you're at. Be honest. He already knows. Thank you. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence here and the love that you have for each one of us. Lord, I pray for anyone who is maybe has the struggle of experiencing intimacy with you and closeness with you. God, I pray that you would heal whatever hurts or wounds, misunderstandings. Anything that would prevent one of your children, Lord, from experiencing your love. I pray, Lord, for wounds that maybe our dads inflicted on us, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Lord, I pray for healing in the deepest parts of our soul. I ask the Holy Spirit to administer, as only He could do, Lord, your healing hand to those areas. And whatever clouded visions of who God the Father really is, Lord, I pray that they would be reshaped and remade, Lord, to the truth of the Scripture. Lord, you know what we've gone through, or you know the pains and the hurts and even the rejection that we've experienced, Lord. Let it be, Lord, that we don't keep that from experiencing you, Lord. You gave your Son Jesus. You've already proved your love. And I pray, as John writes, that we have come to know and have believed the love that God has for us. We've come to know mentally, but then have believed. That means to receive into our hearts the love that you have for us. And so, Lord, we just pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your tenderness, for your kindness, for your giving, generosity, for your love, for your encouragement, for all the good things that you are as our Father. May we grow in those areas, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up? Anybody wants to pray afterwards, I'll be happy to pray. I do pray that the Lord would bless you, and whether this may be a beginning or a renewal of, I pray it would be something special, because there's so much He wants us to experience with Him. Don't let the enemy rob that from you. Mm-mm, don't give him that privilege. Don't give him that victory there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance. That means He smiles as a father would to his children. He smile on you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the Happy Father's Day. Wednesday, prayer and devotional at our house. We'll have a time of devotion and some prayer time, and it's going to be great. So thank you, Lisa and Allie, for leading worship. And we will see everyone later. God bless.